Welcome to Eggnogs and Yule Logs, a podcast where I, Doug Ishikawa, and
I, Mark Hahn,
set out on a journey of self-discovery through the magical world of the Hallmark holiday movies. This was the third time that we did it, and what do they say about the third time, Mark?
It's the charm.
It's the charm. Mark, before we begin, at the top of the show, would you say that you're more of a Blitzen, or would you say that you're more of a comment?
It's funny you say that. I wrote that down too.
It's a great line.
How about you? I'm a comment. Mm-hmm.
So you bring the energy. I'll be the Blitzen, and I will bring the sparkle tonight.
Yeah.
Very, very good. So I did the math here, and it did take me some time because I do struggle with basic math. But after Googling the answer, because you can Google everything these days, through the first two films of the Hallmark Christmas movie countdown, or as I'm calling it, the HCMC universe, we've had an average rating. You don't like what I'm calling it?
What is the HCMC?
It's the Hallmark Christmas movie countdown.
I heard eight instead of H.
It was an MCU joke. And
got it.
You didn't like it, so...
But the MCU has approximately as many movies as Danica McKellar has Hallmark movies.
It's true. It's true. Can I get back to the average rating here?
Go.
3.37 nogs, which is pretty high.
Which is 3.375.
Is it? Oh, yeah. Shoot. Google didn't get 3.375. That's not what I said.
You said 3.37.
Oh.
Nogs.
Nogs, sorry. And anyway, speaking of ratings, for those of you who have jumped into this episode and you're very confused because it's your first listen of the year, I implore you to go back and start from the genesis of it all. It will make a ton of sense, and maybe perhaps you'll smile a little bit. But for those of you that have been here the entire time, thank you and happy holidays to you, even though it's October. Perhaps as an early gift to Mark and myself, you can share this pod with others or smash that rating and review button so we can jump to the top of the holiday podcast rankings. Okay, with all that being said, our latest film Mark is very excited about tonight.
Oh, yeah.
It is The Santa Stakeout. It's being dubbed the Christmas Caper of the Year. And I have to agree with that statement in full. Do you know what a caper is, Mark?
Is it a mystery?
Kind of. Yeah, it's more or less a heist film.
Ah, okay.
Or it's like a subgenre of crime film consisting of films that focus on the planning, execution, and aftermath of a large robbery.
Ooh. Oh, are you talking like The Italian Job?
Yeah, Mark Wahlberg, I am.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah. Who do you want to be in this? Want to be Wahlberg, or do you want to be Ed Norton Jr.?
No, I want to be Handsome Rob.
Or Charlize.
No, okay. I want to be Handsome Rob. All isn't right, that the Jason Statham character?
You can be. Yes, you can.
Okay,
let's,
cool.
Let's get back to the HCMC universe, though. But The Santa Stakeout, it stars Tamara Mori Housley. She's in The Real. She's also in Sister Sister.
Yeah.
Paul Campbell from Battlestar Galactica. Joe Pantoliano from The Matrix. This is an all-star cast, Mark.
Yeah, so I want to ask you, so we mentioned that Danica McKellar is in like all these movies. Can we just refer to the number of Hallmark movies that an actor has been in as their McKellar number?
Okay. Yes. All right. Let's do that.
So Tamara Mori Housley, she has a McKellar number of 3. That was low for what I assumed. But Paul Campbell, her co-star, is a 10.
No way.
Yeah.
Is that the highest McKellar count that we have?
Besides McKellar herself, yes.
Wow. Mm-hmm. That would be something to have both McKellar and Campbell in the same. Have they crossed into the same movie before?
I'll have to do some research, get back to you in the next episode.
You know what you can use? You can use Google for that. Google
does right.
Everything. But you know what? When I was a kid, I used to look forward to the Friday night TGIF lineup on ABC. The Sister Sister show, fantastic. Good work there. It was not picked up after the second season, I found out. It did find a home on the WB, and it lasted 6 seasons. Did you know that?
I did not know that. It was like slightly after my time.
Oh, that's right.
A little bit older.
You're an older miser, I guess.
I'm just older.
Okay. Do you know where Joe Pantoliano is from? He's had over 100 films and shows to his name, but where do we really know him from?
The Matrix. He was Cypher in The Matrix.
Yes.
He was the turncoat.
Yes, he was
the bad, well, not the bad guy, but, you know, the guy who gives up the information to the bad guys.
He just wanted out of the
He wanted to get out. Yeah, you're right. Yeah.
You know?
He didn't want to remember anything.
No.
And he knew that even though he couldn't taste that steak because it wasn't real, it was just the Matrix telling his brain about how delicious it was.
That's a very specific line from the Matrix, but it stuck with you, didn't it?
Yes.
All right. Well, as we always do, let's start by telling the people what this movie is all about by putting 60. Hold on a second. Let me get my
Are we going to do this correctly this time?
Yeah, I screwed it up last time.
Okay.
Because I'm not good at my job. Podcasting this, hosting this podcast. Excuse me. Are you ready? Because you got to cover all the points that we truly need to get a full picture of this work. And are you good? You stretched out?
I'm ready.
All right, here we go.
Okay, so Detective Tanya Morris is a rookie detective in Denver, Colorado. She is partnered with Detective Ryan Anderson, and they are assigned a case where three different expensive pieces of art have gone missing at various parties. And one thing they find out is that the same Santa has been used at each of these parties. And that same Santa is portrayed by Joe Pantoliano, whose character is Francis Miller, aka Mr. Christmas. So what ends up happening is Detective Morris and Detective Anderson rent the house next door to Francis Miller to do a Santa stakeout. Mm. And they observe him and get to know the whole neighborhood because in a little bit of a comedy of errors, they have to pretend to be a married couple. And that where the Blitzen comes in, the lightning. From that moment on, then we have to decide.
Oh my goodness.
Is Francis good or bad?
Oh, I'm sorry. That was 65 seconds. I did give you 60. Here is the actual, that was very good. Once again, you're very good at that.
Oh, thank you.
But here is the actual Hallmark description. Tanya is a police detective who is reluctantly partnered with fellow detective Ryan to solve a recent string of heists taking place during high profile holiday parties around town. They go undercover as newlyweds Tasha and Rupert, moving into the vacant house next to Mr. Miller, the jovial chair of the community's Christmas committee and the prime suspect in the case. As Tanya and Ryan partake in the neighborhood's holidays happenings to keep up appearances and crack the case, they get swept up in Christmas. Before they know it, their cover story as a couple in love starts to become reality. The Santa Stakeout.
Now, that was a pretty substantial Hallmark summary as compared to the other two movies we've gone through.
Yeah, I wasn't happy with the two sentences that some of it gave. So yeah. I kind of like, I miss, you know, I.
Do you need like a glass of water now or something?
I do.
I feel like.
You take over the podcast. Do what you need to do.
No, just here. I want you to take a moment, breathe, get some water. That's all I want.
I'm well hydrated.
Vamp for a little while.
You know, like a hot chocolate flight, where should we begin when it comes down to breaking this film mark? Because I don't know. Should we start with the first mistletoe sighting of the year that we've had? Or should we dive deep into paper lanterns? Or maybe talk about the agency that hires Santa? Or should we even talk about the first hard eggnog sighting? Where do you want to go with this? I don't even know where to start.
Well, I like the mistletoe part because I think as faithful listeners to the show will know, I'm tracking the first kiss in every single one of these.
You are.
And it was a mistletoe that brought us our first kiss in this movie at the 50-minute mark. And I was like, all right, here we go. It's a little early. And it was a little fake because it was mistletoe, but I did like that.
You know, what starts with stolen advent calendar chocolates ends with the sweetest of kisses. A new relationship, a house in a cozy neighborhood filled with the world's all-time neighbors. We'll get to the neighbors as we move forward here. It was kind of like, to me, as I was watching it, kind of felt like living on Sesame Street with the amount of positive energy flowing through all over the place, up and down.
Except for Oscar the Grouch.
Yeah, well, you know what?
He was pretty good.
He does. He has
a role. Yeah, he would say, you know, look, it's garbage can, not garbage cannot. So he was positive.
How about we start with all-time stakeout films? Okay, I did a lot of research about this, and I only came up with three. with it in the title. I'm not saying that the scene itself doesn't happen in any movie. It happens in pretty much every police movie, but you have three choices. Will it be Stakeout? Okay. Richard Dreyfuss and Emilio.
Was Rosie O'Donnell in that?
I don't remember. It came out in like 1983, I believe.
Oh, okay. Then no. Okay.
But then another Stakeout happens, or is it the Santa Stakeout? Where would you like to rank the Stakeout movies that we've seen so far?
Well, I've seen only the Santa Stakeout, so that's at the top of the list.
Number
one. Have you seen the other two?
Not in quite some time, but I think that there was some, things happening in the car, or, there's some funny stuff, I guess, with the other two, but it's been a while. I should probably go back and watch that before I make references to that. But were you disappointed that Tamara's actual real life sister, Tia, wasn't her movie sister?
Oh, yeah. I hadn't thought of that. That would have made a lot more sense and been a lot funnier. Oh, feels like a missed opportunity. You're right.
And does the other actor of Paul Campbell, who, as you're watching it, who does he remind you of? You want to say it together on the count of three here? When you are watching Paul Campbell, I'm giving you a little bit more time. I'm stalling for you to go through that Rolodex in your brain.
I've got my answer, but I don't know if we're going to land in the same place.
Let's see if we do. I'll count to three, and then I just want you to tell me what you're feeling, and we'll see if the synergy on the podcast is like what we usually have in real life. Are you ready?
Okay. Yeah.
One, two, three, Joel McHale.
Paul Walker.
Oh, my gosh. We were way off.
No, but Joel McHale. Okay, fair. Yeah, I can see how you got there.
Well, let's jump right into the categories. Does it fit the narrative of Hallmark movies, Mark?
Well, I say yes, but it certainly is a different kind. The romance here is not straightforward. In fact, the two leads are often, for the first hour or so, in conflict. Mm-hmm. And I actually think that drives the story a little bit better and, for me, made it such a better movie.
Mm, I agree. I thought the Lois Carmichael character, it's probably one of the greatest villain names ever, and I'm guessing that they probably should have known right then and there who was responsible for all the stolen artwork. Would you agree with that?
Something about that name, Lois Carmichael.
Anytime you drop a name like that, that's kind of like a Hallmarkian sort of a narrative right there. It's like, that's a wink at the audience saying, this is the person that you should really be looking at.
Does that mean the more syllables in your name, the more likely you are to be the villain?
I think anything that sounds as robust as Lois Carmichael is something that you should really pay attention to. Would you rather go in the direction of Lois Carmichael or Francis Miller,
Oh, well, Francis is not a particularly menacing name, I don't think.
I don't think so either, but he does go by Mr. Christmas, and that's going to lead us into Baywatch!
Baywatch!
Lines that made us laugh, cry, or feel the feels. I wrote down a whole bunch.
I had a lot, too.
All right, go
ahead. You go first.
One of them that I wrote down was, he's symmetrical with sharp lines, and I just thought that one... It kind of made me laugh a little bit. I've never heard anybody describe another person like that before. And, it goes right into their kind of beginning relationship where there's a little bit of interest and a little bit of flirting and a little bit of back and forth, but there is conflict like you were talking about.
This is how she describes her partner to her sister, right?
Yes, it is.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I enjoyed when she got in his car. And it was just a mess. And she goes, is this a McRib? They stopped selling these a year ago.
Yes. And he says that, what does he say there? He says that he's like nostalgic or something.
Something like that.
Along those lines. Every Mr. Christmas line, Francis Miller, he gives about 20 heartfelt speeches throughout this film.
Yeah.
A lot of one-on-one talks with Rupert. Should we just call him Rupert throughout this film?
Right, sure.
So one of the lines that made me feel the feels was, appreciate every day and also that you could add a Christmas bow to everything to make it more festive. I believe that Francis Miller, a.k.a. Mr. Christmas, says that around the potluck dinner, talking about his his wife has passed, Catherine, right. I believe, right?
Yeah, and he talks quite a bit about how much she taught him about the spirit of Christmas and being together and being with family and having a wonderful neighborhood, as is described throughout the film.
What else do you got?
We're still on Baywatch lines, right?
Baywatch! We haven't left. We're still on the beach.
I enjoyed the captain talking about, hey, I need this case closed.
Because why?
I want that daiquiri. I deserve that daiquiri.
Do you know what type of daiquiri it was?
Was it a strawberry daiquiri?
It was a banana daiquiri.
Banana.
Yes, very good. I was right there with that as well. One of the other lines I had was the best part of Christmas, and this one really kind of made me take a pause here. I had to pause the DVR as I watched it for the third time, but the best part of Christmas is the people that we share it with, moments we share it with the people we love like snowflakes, Mark. They are beautiful. Oh. And no two are alike. And at that moment, boom, just weeping.
Yeah, I have to credit the writer on that one. That was a fantastic line.
It was great. It was great.
I'm going to hope my wife doesn't watch this movie and try and like use that later.
She might. She is listening. She's going back and watching it. Dang it. For sure.
There's one more I've got.
Okay.
Funyuns is a food group.
Very, very much. Very much so. I agree with that sentiment as well.
Funyuns are better than Responsibility-ins.
Let's move into heartwarming moments. Mm. Give me them. There's a bunch of them.
Well, I only have a couple. I really enjoyed like the exact moment that they were mistaken for newlyweds by one of their neighbors. That was really kind of a cool moment in the way that they played it together. And then when she made him Santa coffee and like brought it to him, I was like, mm-hmm. Oh, they're so nice. And she's actually starting to like, she was always going to be the nicer one, mm-hmm. but she, and more thoughtful, but that was a nice moment.
Did you think though, when the Santa, the Christmas coffee was coming out, I know that you're in that same realm of coffee drinkers. I'm not shaming you. I'm not.
Are we going to the Wayback Machine here of our first podcast and how?
Yes, but we go ahead. Oh. Tell the audience. Actually, your wife already knows, but tell her in our audience exactly how you take your cup of coffee.
Well, in our first podcast, we used to talk about how much milk and sugar I would ask for at McDonald's in my coffee. And then Doug decided to stage an intervention for me in one of these podcasts. He was like, I'm really concerned.
Yeah.
Because I would go to McDonald's, I get a large coffee, and I'd say, I need three creams and three sugars, or maybe three and four, or four and four, four and four.
Yeah.
And then you really were like, I'm worried about your heart, man.
That's four and four too many, my friend. But when I was watching, I'm like, Mark's going to love this cup of coffee. And I was actually surprised not to see you at work with some whipped cream and some foam and a cinnamon stick in there. I was kind of surprised that you didn't have it, but
come November, I think it's open season for that. That was the other question I was going to have. When am I allowed to start with peppermint mocha?
You can start peppermint today. Lattes.
I can
do it anytime. Yeah.
We're recording this on October 27th.
Yes, we are.
I'm go allowed?
Ahead. Yeah. Have one when you go out trick or treating. Go ahead. It's your day.
It won't just be a latte then.
It's your, if any of the Hallmark movies has taught us anything, it's live for the moment and live for the day. So you know what? Just do it right off the bat. Some heartwarming moments that I had. Every neighborhood scene that I had, the Christmas committees. Man, Caroline with a delicious hot chocolate buffet at the end. We've seen a little bit of that done in the first, the You, Me, and the Christmas Tree show that we watched a couple of days ago. Potlucks with impromptu piano Caroline. That's when you kind of start to see Ryan/Rupert start to shed his, his kind of like his Scrooge-like. Rough exterior. She comes downstairs and he's playing the piano for everybody. It just looked great. It seems like an entire month long build up to Christmas Eve. So the spirit of Christmas is pretty alive and well in that Sesame Street going on there.
I actually liked a little bit the fact that, and I wish they had done a little bit more with this, but one of the neighbors was like clearly flirting with Rupert.
Hardcore.
And
people are going to get confused. I apologize. Let's
Rupert Ryan. Let's call it,
oh, you want to go with Rupert Ryan, not Ryan Rupert?
Oh, Ryan Rupert is fine.
Okay. Ryan being the real name of the character.
Okay, so then Rupert we're going with his Tanya Tasha?
Yeah. You want
okay,
to
and I want to
like talk
Tanya,
about this.
You're right.
Oh boy,
we are so professional here.
I'm confused now, but go ahead. You were making
it's not
a
like
point
we don't
there.
We see each other every day. Tanya slash Tasha, I thought was going to be like a little bit more upset about all that, and she kind of gives her side eye. But I wanted to like see her confront that woman about that because
yeah, it's not like it it's weird. Like, yeah, it's different than in the second movie, the Christmas of Boyfriends Past,
right?
Where Nate and Lauren are not together, and so like
right.
he can have some flirting take place between him and somebody else because mm-hmm. they're not in a committed relationship, but. In this movie, they're married.
Ryan Rupert had a wedding ring on.
Yeah, and so, like, to come that hardcore, I mean, I know we like gingerbread cookies, but back off a little
yeah.
bit. So let's move on to Double Entendre.
Okay, I've made an executive decision on this.
Okay, you're cutting it from the podcast.
No, I want it to be Double Entendre. Right, but in honor of our mutual colleague from years and years ago.
Can you hear this if I play it? Double
Entendre. No, I know it's Entendre. I know
it is.
Can
you hear it?
Yeah, I can hear it.
Okay, that's my soundboard that I got going on here. So that's how professional we are. Well, let's move into Double Entendre. There it is. So take it away.
Could they have made that more of a smoky voice?
I mean, I could probably change the voice.
No, I like that one. Do it again.
Okay. Go ahead. I didn't have anything in this category, so take it away, Mark.
So I heard not my partner, which I enjoyed. And actually, I wrote down symmetrical with sharp edges, too. Mm-hmm. At that point, they were talking about Christmas gifts or something like that, right?
Yeah,
Christmas wrapping, and she was like, yeah, he's symmetrical with sharp edges.
Yes, and then the sister comes back and says like something like, well, how's the wrapping?
Yes, that's what it was. How's the wrapping? It's wrapping. Symmetrical with sharp edges. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Is that all you have for Double Entendre?
That's what I for Double Entendre.
All right.
I'm going to say it that way.
All right, you're wrong. You're wrong.
Oh, man. I know.
All right. You want to move into lessons learned?
Yeah, well, and this is easy for me. It's don't judge a book by its cover.
Oh.
You could say that in so many ways here.
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Well, Ryan Rupert or whatever was not the same guy from the beginning to the end.
Mm-hmm.
Francis Miller, they essentially was like, well, he's the bad guy. Not at all.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel that way about Hallmark movies now.
Oh.
I feel like I was judging them before.
Yeah, and now?
Now that I'm into at least chapter 3, I'm really liking them.
Shoot, well, you know what? We're going to change calling them episodes. We're going to call them chapters.
Chapters, okay.
That just sounds more romantic and a little bit more cozy. I have 3 lessons learned here, and I will go in order of least serious to serious.
Okay.
So here's my first one. So if you're going to infiltrate a Christmas party, make sure that you come in a costume and make the entrance in slow-mo. That's one of the things that I learned. I'm going to do that. Remember at the very end of the film, both Ryan Rupert and Tanya Tasha are coming into to save Christmas ornament worth $2 million.
They were trying to blend in like the wait staff or something,
yes,
right?
But make sure that you do that. The next time there's a Christmas party, come in a costume. Even if there's not costume on the invitation, just do it for fun and come in as slow motion and dramatic as you possibly can. Will you do that for me?
Oh, let's practice in the morning.
All right. Sounds good. Here's my second one. In one of very many Francis Miller, a.k.a. Mr. Christmas's very deep conversations that I've never had that many deep conversations with a person in my life, but he says that secret to a happy
because you
marriage,
ran out of lip balm.
I ran out of lip balm. You're absolutely right. Burt's Bees, come and sponsor
Burt's Bees.
Secret to a happy marriage is cutting each other a lot of slack, especially around the holidays. That was another lesson learned. And the last lesson I learned very closely, you know, and similar to what you said, not judging a book by its cover. People make mistakes in life. Let's not hold people for who they were, but for who they are trying to be. And it brought me back to one of my all-time favorite films, Do you know where that line kind of comes from?
Who they are trying to be. Can you give me an actor?
Tom Cruise.
Oh, what is that for us? Like 30 films?
Pretty much. We
is
said
it Jerry
was
Maguire?
Specific... Yes, you're right there.
Yes.
Give me the line, Dorothy Boyd.
Oh, you had me at hello? No, it's not that.
Near and dear to my heart. I love him for the man he wants to be, and I love him for the man he almost said with me.
He almost is. Very yeah, that's very right.
Which, and all of that love and all of that good energy, let's move it into Steamometer. Now, we said very earlier, I don't know why the metaphor was Kermit and Piggy, Miss Piggy.
Oh, I have an update on that.
Yo, you have an update on that. All right, go ahead, my friend.
It was suggested to me.
Who was?
It was suggested to me about an hour ago. Steamometer. Well, one should be like brother and sister.
Oh, okay.
And I was kind of horrified because I had rated a one for one of these.
You did.
So, yeah, I gave this a 7.
Oh, my.
I loved this.
Yeah.
It was a slow burn, but you could tell they were into each other from the beginning, but it was that conflict. Like, oh, I don't like you, but yeah, I know we're going to get together.
There's a part in the movie where she says to him, I could do better than you.
Yeah.
Or you should feel sorry for me because I can do better than you.
And it's obvious I can do so much better than you. I remember that.
And yep. Do you remember what his response to that was?
Does he say you probably could?
No, he says, that's good. That's good. Like he gave her props for that because it is a good line. And it means mutual respect in whatever steam is rising at that time. There were two instances for me. I was sitting there watching it on my couch and I'm like, oof, it's like a kettle going off in the back here. Making some tea. The tinsel war.
Oh, yeah,
man.
Yeah.
Slow burn. But man, and I wrote down, I remember specifically getting to my phone after one of the Hallmark chimes went off. Slow burn until this point. I wrote this in all caps. And then I wrote slowly rising. Very good. And then the dancing together at the end of the film, put it over the top right before the lights go out. And if you haven't watched it, make sure that you go back and do so. But right before all heck breaks loose and the Van Gogh paintings go a-missing and everything is pinned on Francis Miller, a.k.a. Mr. Christmas, they're dancing together both in their Christmas party costumes. And I'm dancing right now.
You're dancing right now.
And Mark
in the moment.
Mark is liking it. It's very good. Yeah, I was very a good dancer back in the day. But that one put
yourself short.
That one put it way over the top for my Steamometer. I give it a 10.
A 10. A 10?
So we're talking, you know, remember what we said about 10 here.
What was 10?
Jack and Rose,
Titanic.
Man, right before the boat went down.
Mm-hmm.
I think I can make that joke. It's an old story.
Well, you just said all heck broke loose, so...
Yeah,
I don't know why we have to say heck, but we can reference the car scene from Titanic.
We're not we're talking around it.
Oh, okay.
All right.
Anyone who's too young that movie's 24 years old at this point anyway, right?
Yeah, we're all fine with that. Let's move into generically handsome. Go ahead. Do you have anything down? Anything, any wardrobe attire that really punched it up for you?
I thought... Everything that Tanya Tasha was wearing was just great.
Mm-hmm.
She seems to know how to dress. And it was like, I'm a Denver suburban housewife. I mean, I know they're newlyweds, but like everything about all that, like screamed Colorado. Mm. And it totally worked for me.
Classic.
Classic.
Mm-hmm. I gotcha. And anytime I think that you can wear a matching Christmas sweater, I'm totally game with it. So generically handsome for that. I did add one more thing before we get to eggnog ratings. Unanswered questions. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you remember this particular scene in the movie, but when they go to select a Christmas tree, Tanya does what? Do you remember?
No.
Did you watch the film?
Yeah. Well, I watched it the night it came out because I was trying to get all this work done.
Yeah. Well, she takes the pine needles. She crushes them and she smells it. She makes him smell it too, Ryan Rupert.
Mm-hmm.
And she says, this is how you know that you have a good tree. So my question is, and I know it's going to go unanswered, do you think that Jack Connor knew this trick?
Did Jack Connor know to take that the pine needles and know and that it's like a them. True and Christmas
that,
tree?
That it was going to be a good tree. Do you think that he did that?
Well, I'm sure that was written down in his notebooks, wasn't it?
I don't know.
Or he'd saved it in the Google Drive or something?
Unanswered questions, something to think about as you lay your
Are you suggesting down. They're in the same universe?
Yes, everybody.
Are all of these in the same universe?
What did I say this was?
What did I say? That's right. You did say it was the HCMU.
Oh, my gosh. HCMC universe.
HCMC universe. Okay, so
You know what?
HCMC? Hallmark Christmas Movie Christmas?
Hallmark Christmas Movie Countdown universe.
Okay.
I guess you could call it HCMCU.
HCMCU, yes.
Yeah, that's probably better. All right.
I'm glad we worked this out live on the show.
Very, very good. We should have pre-meetings to our pre-meetings here. Let's get to the last one so people can turn this off, your wife. Eggnog ratings has to be out of four mm-hmm. nogs. Go ahead. Take the
What
four.
Did I text you in all caps the night that I watched this? You can leave out the one word.
Oh, yeah. We're not swearing on the podcast.
All right.
Four nogs.
Four nogs, I said. Four nogs. I loved this.
Yeah. Why did you love it so much? Why was there so much excitement with it?
To me, it was just so much better written,
mm-hmm.
Better acted.
Mm-hmm.
This guy, Paul Campbell, who's been a veteran now of 10 Hallmark movies, he really clearly knew what he was doing. Obviously, Tamara Mowry and Joe Pantoliano, these are professionals. Everything about this was just done better, I think. And because it wasn't we know where this is going right away.
Mm-hmm. It had some nice twists and turns.
Correct.
We already talked mm-hmm. about Lois Carmichael here, but if you haven't watched it and we haven't ruined it, because that's what we're doing, we're going to spoil it. And if you haven't seen it, I mean, it's October 27th. This came out a few days ago. Let's get with it.
When did you watch it?
I watched it every night.
Oh, okay.
Since it came out.
All right.
You know, it's ingrained in who I am. And I got to just say, it rises up. I think anytime that you see a hard eggnog sighting, and I think that we should start partaking in some of these drinks, because we're going to gain a whole bunch of pounds, and I'm so excited about that. But I think anytime you get a hard eggnog sighting, it automatically gets you one eggnog. So just moving on up, like you said, well-written, well-performed, great movie all around. Anything else you want to say before we get out of here tonight?
Did you give a number?
I gave four. Four okay. nogs.
Four nogs.
Four nogs plus four nogs divided by two is four nogs.
I enjoyed the bit of hesitation there.
It was. I got to eight, and then I was like,
I do have one thing to mention.
Yes, go ahead.
So I learned today that there is an app called the Hallmark Movie Checklist app,
mm-hmm.
which is essentially an app that will tell you, okay, here are the countdown to Christmas movies that are coming up. Here is exactly when they premiere. Here are the miracles of Christmas movies. Here's when they premiere. Mm. Here are the movies that are on tonight. It's actually a really well done app.
Yeah.
And I think use it to kind of keep track of, you know, when does something premiere? I don't know if it has the functionality to go ahead and play directly from this.
Mm.
If you have the ability to drop something onto your television with screen mirroring or something like that. But it's a pretty cool app, especially if you're trying to keep track and say, hey, I'm watching all 41 so I can keep up with Doug and Mark.
Yes, absolutely. And if you want to at home help us out by cross-referencing who's in what film together, that can help
us out.
That'd be great. Send it to us. We do have a Twitter account too, if you want to hit us up at it. I don't remember what I called it. Do you remember what I called it? Eggnogs and eggnogs?
No, you said there's no and. Oh. You sent me the wrong link the first time.
I did. Where did it send you?
To something that didn't exist.
Oh, okay. It is at Eggnogs Yule Logs. So go check it out. Give us a follow if you want to follow along. We're going to be dropping all our episodes there and kind of connecting with the Holiday Hallmark community. It's a great community to be involved in. We're very happy to be a part of it. But That's going to put a wrap on it for us tonight. Thanks for hanging out with us for episode 3 of Eggnogs and Yule Logs. We'll be back next episode with the 4th Hallmark Countdown movie. Do you know what it is?
Well, let me check my app here.
Check your app.
Christmas in Harmony.
Going to be a good one, folks. We're going to drop this episode on Thursday, so that means you have a whole day to catch up before Christmas in Harmony hit you on that Friday. Mark, as always,
to the evergreen.
Wait, do I say it first?
I don't care.
I think I say it first.
Go ahead.
Ready? Oh, shoot, back it up. Mark?
Doug? Yeah.
To the evergreen.
To the evergreen.
Bye-bye, everybody. Thanks very much.